The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
There are many people out there, though, that think that you gave the WWE Universe this great main event because you were trying to deflect all the attention away from what seemed to be a growing problem with disillusioned superstars in the locker room.
Again, do people think that's how I operate? I mean, seriously, you know, it's almost like I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. If I make a match 1 week and there's a group of people that are happy with it, there's a group of people that are disappointed in it. The following week, something else happens, and I change that match because that's what the WWE Universe wants. And now the people that were upset the week before, they're thrilled this week, and the people that were thrilled the week before are now upset. I can never win, Michael, and that's the burden of the role of COO that I'm in. I sit every day with that burden. You can never make everybody happy. What I do is I look at the locker room, I look at what the WWE Universe wants, and I try to give them the best that we can give them as a company. We give them what's best for business. That's all this is about.
Well, what's best for business is to have, well, me, Jason Block, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Hayman is not here because, as we'll talk about in a little bit, she had a little problem returning this defective hover-round scooter to the dealership, and she's kind of like dealing with this Illinois hover-round thingy. So I've got the keys to the kingdom, and I have a fearsome foursome, so I'm going to start to my left. From New Jersey, Mr. Jim Williams, how are you, sir?
Apparently, Paul Heyman, dear old Uncle Paul, got the remains of the People Power Rascal scooter. Very depressing.
Yeah, it was depressing, but hilarious at the same time, which we'll get to it.
Yes.
From the great state of FLA, Mr. Chris Waters, how are you, sir?
I'm good, but I'm surprised you guys are still on the air after last week's show.
Well, the person who we defended and our sponsorship boss here, Mr. Brett Clandaniel, how are you, sir?
I'll tell you what, last week that was absolutely fantastic, and if anything, we have increased your contract.
Oh, great. So we get double zero.
Yay!
So we're off.
Yes.
Hooray, hooray. And finally, from the great state of Kentucky, Mr. Tyler Brown.
You know what? It's great to be back, but let me tell you something. I've got two words for you. Please hold.
Yeah. Now, I call this first segment, I Heard a Rumor, because there's a lot of rumors going around about a lot of stuff, and we're going to start to first talk about, oh boy, TNA. I know Nikki's not going to like it, but Brett, I want to start with you. This week, if you saw Impact, which was live to tape from Little Rock, the big story coming out of that was that Dixie Carter, heel Dixie Carter, that is given Hogan 7 days to, quote-unquote, ride the Dixie train, so to speak. And if not, he's going to say goodbye. Now, in a little bit of spoilerific news on next week's show, he quits. But there is a non-storyline reason for it. As you pretty much know, Hogan's contract with TNA is pretty much expiring as of October 1st. You posted on your Twitter feed, Brett, that Hogan makes, what, $30,000 a show? Is that correct?
Yeah, $30,000 per appearance.
Okay. And the reason why Mickie James, which we'll get to also in a second, turned TNA down was she was only offered $62,000 a year. Now, okay, let's play a little bit of hypothetical here. Let's say that Hogan is gone from TNA. First of all, starting with you, Brett, what is Hogan's legacy in the almost 4 years of the TNA reign there?
I don't think it's anything good. We saw a company before Hogan got there. We saw a company that was really on the rise that, in my opinion at least, was really starting to be that formidable opponent to the WWE, something that we haven't had in over 10 years now. And since Hogan's got there, it's been nothing but a decline. He went in and he thought that, you know, I'm Hulk Hogan, I am pro wrestling, and if you listen to me, everything's going to work. Well, it was Hulk Hogan's idea to go to Monday nights, and we see how that ended up. It was Hulk Hogan's idea to take TNA on the road, and we see how that's ended up. That's likely going to end in the coming 3 or 4 months here. And he had this specifically at the beginning. He loved to bring in his friends. You know, the Nasty Boys, I think, were there. I think Brutus Beefcake was there for a little while. And they were all moves that just never worked. They never benefited the company. And going out on a limb, I really believe that had TNA kind of stuck to the philosophy that got them to where they were, that they may actually be a really good opponent for the WWE right now.
All right, Chris, do you agree or disagree?
It's kind of hard to say for sure because before Hogan got there, they were making some sort of mistakes there, but that was mostly the Jarrett era. But I do agree if they focused back on what they were working on before, they would be in a better place than they are now with Hogan in there.
Now, multiple reports say that Jeff Jarrett is actually back behind the scenes. He worked the shows in St. Louis and also worked at the shows in Little Rock. Jim, what are your thoughts if Hogan is legitimately gone? What's his legacy?
His legacy is pretty much what Brett said. It's not a good one in any stretch of the imagination. It was pretty much nothing but steps backward for Impact Wrestling. As far as I'm concerned, they went away from what made them unique. The X Division and the Young Guns, the names that you know from that company. It wasn't so much about AJ Styles as it was, or Samoa Joe even, as it was about, you know, other names that are retreads, for lack of better terms. And yeah, I got to lump Kurt Angle into that retread, even though, you know, he's made a name for himself, quite frankly, maybe more so in TNA in recent years.
And by the way, he also is coming back to be inducted into the Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
It's true. I was also coming back from rehab.
But, I mean, you look at everything that has happened, and Brett chronicles it perfectly. The Monday night, quote-unquote, I won't even call it a war. I'll call it a pea shooting match, because that's about as good as it got. Ratings have steadily been, if you look at the ratings from 4 years ago before Hogan came on, and the ratings now, the ratings have gone downhill. In fact, their most recent show, they couldn't even get to a 0.9, for goodness sakes. You know, and I see they're trying to get away from the Aces and Eights thing, which, you know, I never jived with. They're trying to go back to the X Division, but the question I have is the damage already done from Hogan. I mean, Hogan historically has gone places since leaving WWF back in the day, and he's damaged them. He has literally damaged them. He was a part of the reason, whether you want to admit it or not, the WCW went under. He's a part of the reason why TNA is in as bad a shape as it is. He is, he's bad news, simply put. And now the rumors that he may, we'll get to those in a second, okay.
Okay, Tyler, let's add you. What do you think?
Okay, let's look at a few things. First off, MMA guys, neither of those guys have served much of a purpose in my mind. Watching the show, watching clips from YouTube, because of my busy schedule, but even with that, even what I've seen, I don't have to see full shows. If this is what they're deciding that this is what they need to put on television, you know, MMA guys aren't going to make huge boosts in their ratings. You know, when you're doing house shows in El Paso, Texas, a city that has a very historic, you know, huge wrestling following, especially with the likes of the Guerrero family, you know, your house show is only doing 136 people, and just your cost alone to rent the building is $60,000. And, you know, here's the question. Out of those 136, how many of them were comped via either radio contest or, you know, via other means? So I'm pretty sure that even out of those 136 that attended, not all of them, I don't believe all of them were paid tickets. There had to have been some that were, you know, hey, call us today and you can win free tickets to the TNA wrestling show. You know, just mistakes like that. And even when I was driving around town the other day, there were the billboards for the recent TNA wrestling show, but they were in industrial areas as opposed to non-industrial areas where, you know, you'll get a lot of traffic from just the regular people passing by. Industrial areas, you'll get a lot of truckers. You won't get the kind of traffic that, you know, or families of, oh, look, there's Hulk Hogan. Let's go see Hulk Hogan. You're failing in the advertising. You're failing in the marketing department of who you want to group, whose people, whose attention you want to grasp, and you're failing directly in the house shows. You know, $60,000 is what you're already in the hole, not counting any other fees. That's just for the rental of the property. Then you've got an accountant, and okay, if you're only selling to 136 people, how many of those 136 some odd people are actually buying merchandise? You know, so either way, you're still coming way in the hole, even after merchandise sales and other assorted sales. So, you know, please stop. Just stop.
Okay. So, Brett, go ahead.
Now, this is actually something that that yesterday, when all of this news was coming out about Mickey James and Hulk Hogan, I actually emailed a person over at TNA, and I asked for some specific statistics on last year. And I was actually surprised that they actually got this to me pretty quickly. And earlier this afternoon, they are claiming that last year, the average paid attendance, this is going to be up on WrestleChat.net tomorrow, by the way.
So breaking news, right?
The average paid attendance for a TNA live event last year was, hold on, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
471. That's what the average
wow!
The average live paid attendance for a TNA event last year. Now, obviously,
No. Brett, just let's let everyone soak that in. Repeat that number one more time.
That's 471 paid people per live TNA event. I'm sure we've all seen those live events that are only drawing 100, 200 people. I know they get that still. And this number's probably inflated a bit. Last year they did do that baseball stadium tour where they were, you know, yes, they were doing some shows with 3,000-4,000 with guests. So that's where they're at. Now, I did a little math. The average TNA ticket price, which is something else that I asked for, they weren't really clear on the answer to this for me, but they did tell me that the average ticket price is $32.50. So if you take that 471 and multiply that by $32.50, you come out to $15,307. That's their gate. That is their gate. Consider the fact that Hulk Hogan appeared on some of those shows at $30,000 a pop. You are automatically $15,000 in the hole before anything, before paying any other talent. Like Tyler said, before you pay for the arena, the security, and things of that nature, this is why TNA is so upside down right now.
And that's why they're cutting talent. Okay. I mean, first of all, that's some great info. Okay. It's some incredible info on that. Now, let's play the second hypothetical. Let's say Hogan is gone from TNA and they don't re-sign him, okay? Does Vince make the call, or does Hogan approach, or actually does Triple H make the call now since he's the COO? Jim, I start with you. Does he make the call?
This is I know. You know where I lie on this, but you want me to give the honest answer? I think he does. Honest to goodness, I think he does. Looking at the way the pay-per-view already at this early stage is shaping up, they need that big draw. And if I'm not... correct me if I'm wrong, The Rock isn't necessarily going to be a part of it, correct?
Oh, we're going to get to that
maybe
in a minute.
Not okay. Well, it's WrestleMania 30. They got to have a big draw. A big, big draw. And you know Hulk Hogan is going to put the fanboys in the seats any way you cut the cookie in this instance. And the rumored match, do you want me to even go there?
No, I'm going to go
okay,
there.
You're going to go
hold
there.
On a second.
But,
okay.
But For Mania, maybe. I would not be surprised if the call and the olive branch, as it were, is extended. Nothing would surprise me in that regard.
Chris, do you agree?
Yeah, for Mania alone, or if they invoked somebody in the Hall of Fame, that would be close to Hogan. Like, if they finally get Mr. T to finally get into the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to say never because of Bruno. Yeah, just for that alone, but do not give him booking power. Try not to give him too much of time on the show, and he'll be fine. Because I'll say this, when he wants to be somewhat humble, I don't mind Hogan as much nowadays, because I remember his early, his 2002 run, except for the title part of it, it wasn't that bad to me. But, so, if he goes, well, yeah, I mean, humble in for Hogan, humble. I mean, he lost by submission for in one of the matches.
Right,
during
but what I'm saying is this, though.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, what I'm actually saying is, Brett, you know as well as I do that Hogan, a 60-year-old Hogan in a match at WrestleMania will still draw, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people would tune in just to see it. I mean, I would. I can't stand anything that Hulk Hogan's done the last 3 years, but why wouldn't I? I mean, why wouldn't most real hardcore people that grew up with the sport? I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah. Now, Tyler, this is the match. Now, my father said Hogan Undertaker, and I say, nah, no. I'm going to book one money match for you. Okay. Or let me just ask you this. There is only, I think, one match that Hogan should fight at WrestleMania. Am I correct? Tyler?
I'm under the impression, personally, that Hogan has just, his body is so wrecked. He would be good as an appearance, but he would have a hard time holding up in a full, huge match like this with so much on the line.
Okay, but let's say he could go. Can you see Hogan Cena happening?
It could happen. It just depends on, you know, all the circumstances working their way. You know, the old generation versus the new generation, you know, Cena being the hero of the late 2000s, mid-2000s on, and Hogan being the hero of the 80s, you know, and then off and on. It would be a tremendous match. It's just a matter of, you know, what is Hogan's asking price going to be? You know, will all the elements work together? Because the WWE has plenty of money. Don't get me wrong; they're not in anywhere near TNA's even bargain bin. But the problem is, they want to know if yes, you'll get the casual fan in. Oh, it's Hogan coming back to the WWE, and you know you'll hear him coming out the real American and the boas and the thing, and then they'll start, you know, out of nowhere the Hulkamania merchandise will come into the WWE shop and all this stuff. But it's all about all the elements working together, and the thing I would be highly concerned about is just the status of Hogan's body. You know, hypothetically or not, you've got to consider the status of Hogan's body.
Yeah, overall. You absolutely do, Tyler. And in recent interviews, Hogan has stated he's never wrestling again. But of course, how, you know, not unlike Terry Funk, this is my last match, 1997, and how many more matches did he have after Barely Legal? Thank you very much. Money talks, BS walks. I don't want to see it. And, you know, it would be the perfect match for Hogan. It's Terry three moves versus Johnny three moves in the match to end all matches. It's a mega fight match, and it has that big fight feel. And I get that. Believe me, I do. It's just, I don't want to see it. I've seen enough of Hogan. His ego and his way about him are a turnoff to me. They just are.
Okay. I know they're probably a turnoff to you, Brett, but I just, do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it?
I mean, I definitely think he's going to end up back in WWE at some time. Do I think it's going to be at WrestleMania 30? I'm really up in the air on that, but I think he has to end up here. As far as a match with John Cena, which is the match that he wants, I don't. If it does happen, I don't think it's going to happen at WrestleMania. I think Cena's match at WrestleMania is already penciled in, and it's not Hulk Hogan. I was actually talking today.
Do you think it's the triple threat between Orton and Bryan?
I'm under the impression it's going to be Cena versus Orton one on one. And from what I understand, I was actually talking to I'm not going to name drop, but I was talking to a pretty big wrestling journalist today. One of the guys who, you know, has a lot of paid subscribers and things like that. And I was asking him, what do you think Hulk Hogan working at a WrestleMania, what do you think it might do to the card? And we actually pretty much agreed on the four main matches. Like I said, Cena and Orton is, I think, one that goes down. But the person that we both agreed on that would end up actually working with Hulk Hogan may shock some of you guys, but we think it would be Ryback.
Ooh, interesting. Now, let me jump into that, actually, because you published a major article, Brett, another one, on your awesome site, WrestleChat.net, about some WrestleMania 30 matches with The Undertaker. Why don't you explain what you talked about?
Well, the current WrestleMania 30 card revolves very, very heavily around The Rock, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, and Ryback. Now, three of those four, I think we can all assume, are pretty much guaranteed, with The Rock being the one guy that, as of right now, doesn't look like it's going to happen. And I really don't think it is, especially after his injury last year. And so with that happening, it looks like that the WWE's current plan is to kind of move forward with The Undertaker versus Ryback. What they wanted to do originally, if they could get all four of these guys to agree, is go with The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, something that they started teasing last year, earlier this year, and The Undertaker versus Ryback. So they were the two big matches that they wanted to do with those four guys. With The Rock being out, it'll probably end up being more like The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. The idea behind Ryback, which has caused a lot of internet backlash this week, the idea behind that is that Paul Heyman would pretty much say, you know what, my guy at WrestleMania 29 didn't get it done in CM Punk, but this year I got a bigger, stronger, more capable guy to end the streak, and that guy would be Ryback.
Now, Brett, let me just interrupt you for a second. Do you think what happened this week on Raw with Ryback and Axel sort of getting the better of him is starting of the rebuild of Ryback?
I think that's why Paul Heyman's paired up with him. And I think Ryback is going to get a big push. And this is where The Rock's absence and Hulk Hogan, his TNA contract expiring, this is where they all kind of go hand in hand. They can still go. The idea was, if The Rock can't go, to kind of slide Brock Lesnar into that role, because Brock Lesnar would still qualify as that big, strong, capable guy who's been getting this push for the last since WrestleMania. So the idea here would be that Brock Lesnar slides in as that Paul Heyman guy to face The Undertaker, and Ryback, this unstoppable force who's been on this major push, it's going to continue until WrestleMania 30, he slides in there against the immortal Hulk Hogan, and I actually think, I mean, it would be a terrible match, but I would mark the hell out.
Okay. Chris, who do you see The Undertaker fighting at WrestleMania, Ryback or somebody else?
I don't think that Ryback would be as big of a draw, not a big a name as we're used to for Undertaker matches. Because, like, think about the past Undertaker matches. We've had two with Michaels, we had two with Triple H, and we had CM Punk, who was just coming off his 400-day WWE title reign. I would like to see the Lesnar one, because if you look back at their feud in the past, Undertaker has not beaten Lesnar. So they could build that kind of like they did with Michaels in the past.
And if you also remember that infamous interview after the Cain Velasquez,
yes, exactly.
MMA fight.
You want to go?
There's some. What?
You want to go?
Yeah.
You want to go? Yeah.
As far as Ryback goes, I really don't see Hogan having a match. I think WWE learned their lesson from when they had Bret Hart having the matches. And even though he did well at SummerSlam 2010, he didn't do that great at a WrestleMania. No offense to him. There was another rumor that I heard with Ryback, with another guy, that they seem to be getting a little bit, because he's also in the new WWE game, Ryback versus Goldberg. So
Well, I mean, now, okay, all right. Jim, do you see The Undertaker fighting somebody else? Because we all know The Undertaker is coming back sooner rather than later.
Of course.
As we all know by the Twitter feeds. Where do you think he's going to go? I mean, do you think he's going to go after the Shield first? What do you think is going
to
happen?
I'd love to see a Lesnar-Taker match at 30. Because this has been building, like you mentioned, for a couple of years now. And I think that would be the big money fight of the pay-per-view, quite frankly and honestly. I mean, of course, the streak bout is always the big money fight. And not unlike the match he had with Cena, Lesnar would beat and bloody the hell out of Taker, and Taker could potentially find a way, you know, the stamina, the intestinal fortitude, as Mick Foley would say, to come from behind and win, although there are rumors, of course, that the streak is coming to an end, and they're not afraid to go that route. I'll believe.
Yeah, now, let me go to Tyler. Tyler, is Ryback the guy to end the streak?
No. They've been so wishy-washy on him. You know, there for a while, he was just kind of lacking the skills. Now they're finally starting to build him up to the heel, the tough guy, the guy who has a little bit of a mouthpiece in Paulie. But if anybody, I would have to go with Lesnar just because of things that have been building.
But is now let me ask you something. Is Lesnar the guy to end the streak?
Yes.
Wow.
Would say they. I mean, like I said, the history's there, but because of both of their dueling schedules and injuries and the nature of their contracts, you know, they haven't exactly been on TV together anytime soon. But once you build up towards WrestleMania, that can all easily change.
All right, Brett. Are either of those two worthy enough to have the streak ended by them?
Ryback or Lesnar?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. Neither of them. Lesnar, for the fact that I think that when you have somebody end the streak, it needs to be somebody that's going to benefit from it for many years. For that reason alone, I don't think that a part-timer that's only going to work 3 pay-per-views a year should be the guy that gets that honor. When it comes to Ryback, I simply don't think he's over enough. I think if he was, we would have figured it out by now. Whether he was a face, a heel, he's obviously improved a lot in the ring, but the crowd just doesn't react to him.
Jim, do you agree?
I tend to agree. I mean, if you're going to play a handicap booker here, and you're going to come up with a name that would benefit from beating, from ending the streak, the only name that comes to my mind really is Daniel Bryan. He would benefit the most, I think, of anybody on the current roster. Then he would be more than a B-plus player in the business. But aside from that, no, I don't. First of all, the streak is holier than thou art, and I'm not trying to be a mark in saying that. It just is. I don't think, Lesnar and Taker would be a money fight to watch on pay-per-view. I don't think anybody questions that. He's not a worthy person to, like Brett and others said, end the streak. I just don't think he's worthy to end the streak. He's worthy to compete to try to end it, but not to end it.
The only other person that I could see that they might want to put to end the streak that wouldn't be just some guy being built up to it, because if you think about it, the guy who would have the end of the streak will have that around him for all his career, and they want to make sure it's somebody that they know is going to last. And the only other person I can see besides what Jim said for Daniel Bryan would have been John Cena. That's the only other one I can see for Taker at WrestleMania 30.
I'm so glad somebody dropped his name, because I've been saying for years now, the one guy I want to see face The Undertaker at WrestleMania is John Cena. It needs to happen eventually.
Yeah, it does. I you know what? And I happen to agree with you. Everyone, you know, you've heard of the term, the number threes, right? You know mm-hmm. that term, right? Brett? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. All the number threes would be going, no, it's not. Are you kidding? That is a money match too.
It would especially be. I mean, for me, what ruins the Undertaker's matches at WrestleMania, I mean, as great as they are, what ruins it for me going into them is that it's always kind of a foregone conclusion that the Undertaker is going to win the match. There hasn't been a challenger in years where you said, oh, he's going to lose that match. I mean, that thought hasn't gone through my mind for 6 or 7 years now. If you put John Cena in that ring, there is going to be that disbelief among the audience of, I really have no idea who's going to win.
Plus the fact that Cena and Undertaker never really have had that much interaction against each other, except for the little bit of time before Cena was even WWE champion, or if I remember correctly, even U.S. champion back then, that was when he was just starting the rapper thing.
What it would be is, and I say this half jest but half in truth, it would be Super Cena versus the Supernatural. And
yes, exactly. It
would be a big pay-per-view draw, no question about it.
You just gave them their WrestleMania 31 or 32 tagline.
Pay me my money.
TATFM, yes. But okay, so Brett, let's talk about you one more thing before we cuz I'm seeing a little bit of a message coming in from the general manager. But Brett, what do you see right now as the early, early sketchings of WrestleMania 30? What are you seeing or hearing?
As of right now, I think that the four main matches that we're looking at are John Cena versus Randy Orton, The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, which may be for the WWE title, and as of today, I'd have to say Hulk Hogan and Ryback.
You really think Hogan's going to take it? You think Hogan's going to make the deal?
I do. I really do. I mean, TNA, that report's been out today. They want him to pretty much take a 50% pay cut. It's not going to happen. He has a really good relationship with the WWE. They've stayed on really friendly terms. A lot of people say that's the reason he doesn't name drop TNA when he's doing these big media appearances, because he doesn't want it to come back on the WWE. He doesn't want to kind of look like he's against them. I mean, a lot of the mainstream people, they don't know about TNA. They still think Hulk Hogan's in the WWE. So I really think it's going to all work out. He's going to walk away from TNA, and I think he is going to end up in WWE at some point. And if I had to guess today, I'd say Ryback.
Do we see him at the Rumble?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, the WWE shies away from having too many big returns on a show, and I think that one's already booked up to be John Cena.
Wow.
Sounds like it's going to be the, oh, yay, it's Cena. Oh, crap, it's Cena.
Well, no, we all know, you know.
But to Brett's point, if I may, very quickly, yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't see Hogan coming back until maybe February, into the road to WrestleMania after the February pay-per-view.
That's it. And by the way, he'll be gone after WrestleMania.
I would think so. I mean, he may do a Hall of Fame induction. I mean, and the thought that crosses my mind, and I know it's likely never going to happen, but again, San Martino, you never say never. Randy Savage. That would be the only person I could see him definitely jumping at to help induct.
No. Why don't I throw this one at you? Can you imagine Hogan inducting Warrior?
That would.
Yeah, right? Tyler, am I right about that one, though?
Yeah, that would be completely off the chain.
Right?
Because I'm picturing the Hall of Fame speech that Warrior gives.
What speech? He'd be talking about destrucity and, you know,
rocket ships and.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, but it's the possibilities are endless with this whole Hogan thing. I mean, it's just, look. Yes, I understand he's a 60-year-old guy. Yes, I understand that he can't work a lick right now. But right now, at this particular point in time, I just think that Hogan in WWE is a pretty much a foregone conclusion. Pretty much. Yes. Wow. I actually got two texts, actually. Two messages.
Oh, he's texting now. Isn't that adorable?
Yeah, yeah, try this. Well, the first one says...
Was he the one that communicated with John Laurinaitis all the time?
Yeah, that was
him. People power!
Yeah, the first one is that... is that he said, Nikki sent me this thing about expenses from Chicago, Milwaukee, and Minnesota for returning a broken scooter. Okay. And the second one says, you guys have been talking about TNA way too much. You got to talk about Monday Night Raw and that awesome, awesome, awesome promo by CM Punk in Chicago. And you got to talk about the fact that there is one less Bella on the market. Well, we'll get to that and some other stuff here. For Brett, for Tyler, for Chris, for Jim, this is Jason Block taking over for the North American Wrestling Connection here as presented by WrestleChat.net here on CLW 83. We'll be back.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
I actually haven't eaten yet. It's sitting right in front of me.
Oh boy. Chris Palmer eats during the show is brought to you by
Miami Sub.
No, it's brought to you by whoever the hell makes Hamburger Helper.
would be the guy with the hand. I don't know.
1 pound, 1 pan, 1 tasty meal.
You.
By the way, okay. When did the Hamburger Helper hand go through puberty? Can anybody tip that off on me? Because he's gone through puberty.
Oh,
he's not,
God.
I can't believe you asked that.
No, because he had a voice when we were growing up that was akin to like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and now...
The Helper glove went through puberty. Oh, my God. Soundbite.
You mother...
That's right. The BS Big Show, episode 200, coming soon.
The pennant chase is on, and nobody covers baseball like CLW 83 Network's Touch 'Em All. Join Jim Williams and a panel of baseball pundits for analysis and insights on all things Major League Baseball, from the latest news to thought-provoking discussions. If you want to truly cover all the bases on the road to the Fall Classic, you have to Touch 'Em All every week in September and before every round of baseball's postseason this fall on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
With the second half of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is not Nikki Haman. I am Jason Block, taking over for the wonderful and talented host. I have four panelists here: Jim Williams, Chris Waters, Brett Kline Daniel, and Tyler Brown. We are on the road to Battleground, and the road stopped off in CM Punk's hometown of Chicago. Boy, did the fans love him, to the point where he comes out in an awesome promo with his own, with the Blackhawks jersey. I mean, that was just insanely fun. Brett, what do you think?
I feel awful even saying this, but I missed it, kind of. I was in the other room, and I was hearing bits and pieces. The parts I did hear were fantastic. I did catch the end when he was going at it with Ryback and Curtis Axel, but I missed most of the promo. I feel terribly excited.
Well, you know what? Jim, do me a favor. Tell him what he would do. Why don't we have a listen to what CM Punk would do after he got his hands on Paul Heyman? Hit it.
I have 18,000 people that are going to bail my ass out of jail when I get my hands on you.
That was after Paul Heyman sang, "Start spreading the news" in Chicago. How great was Paul Heyman, Chris, on that one?
He was completely douche-tastic right there. And it was great to see him being that way. And it's good to see that even though he is likable in his doofosity, as Nikki would put it, he is still evil enough to want to see him get his ass kicked.
Now, Tyler, did that whole segment make you want to buy and see CM Punk right back more?
Yes, just because of the whole thing that Paulie's still hooked into, you know, these are my guys, but CM Punk used to be my guy. It's like the weird relationship type thing going on. It's kind of creepy, but it's still so amazing just the way that, you know, you no matter what, I'm kind of flip-flopping. I like both guys. I like all the guys involved. But it's like, okay, at one minute you're like, yeah, CM Punk, you know, go for it. And then you're like, ooh, that was pretty cool what the other guys did. So it's sort of a, you know, I'm a big Paul E. fan, and I like Paul's guys, and then, you know, I'm a CM Punk guy, so I'm highly torn in this situation.
Now, we also had another doing what's best for business sort of deal, where we had the 11-on-3 handicap match. Now, the 11-on-3 actually wasn't that bad of a match for many reasons. Brett, I'm going to ask you this. You saw that particular match. The Shield finally got their, comeuppance a little bit. Do you think the Shield is ready for a face turn? Maybe?
I don't think so. I think they're going to... I mean, I could see them maybe splitting soon, but not yet. I think we're going to see them kind of segue into probably some kind of six-man tag against maybe some guys that jumped the rail and their father.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to get to. Before the match, Chris, it was a little goofy to see Goldust in his makeup though jump the crowd.
I'll slightly disagree about the makeup, because I think of it as like war paint, because it's gold. Dustin Rhodes is so entrenched with his Gold Dust character that he made it work despite what WWF planned. That's what I'm seeing in the story. So him wearing that is saying, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to use what you created for me against you. That's how I see it, personally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, put it to you this way. Jim, that was an awesome brawl. That was an awesome brawl.
It was a Pier 6 brawl, a Donnybrook, a slobber knocker, any other of JR's catchphrases. They're all appropriate. It was entertaining to watch, and it made you want... It got you emotionally invested into things a little bit more, and now, as we find out, through... Corporation H's version of the Frost-Nixon interviews with Michael Cole, for lack of better terms. Rest in peace, David Frost. Don't mean to associate you with Michael Cole. There's going to be a potential olive branch extended. Or an opportunity will be dangled on a carrot, as it were.
On Monday for all three roadmen.
If you will.
If you will. And by the way, congratulations on Cody. I saw a couple of photos on his Twitter feed. He actually did get married, and the bride looks very nice. I don't know if you've seen it, but yes.
Oh yes. Would you say she's dashing?
Oh, she's definitely dashing.
She's not smoking mirrors.
She is
surely worth a few minutes down in your mother's basement.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I'll just be bringing
it
out.
You know, by the way, very interesting. I mean, look, I liked also the way they booked the handicap match, because RVD and Kofi came out to fight, but they were injured in their earlier matches versus Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton, respectively. RVD is pretty much on his way out because his contract is done, or has been done, for 90 days, and he's going to come back again in 90 days hence. I like that work. What was more interesting, though, was the fact that Big Show is pretty much Stephanie's puppet. I mean, we got a new catchphrase right there, Chris?
Yep, knock 'em out is the newest catchphrase for Stephanie McMahon, and I want to see if they do a like they did when Vicky got big at first, and they give her a shirt that says knock 'em out, like they did with Vicky with Excuse Me.
I don't know about that. But Brett, interesting to see if the Big Show didn't complain this time around.
And you know what? And I have no gripes about it, because it was The Miz.
Exactly.
So I hope he knocks The Miz out again this Monday.
Not a fan, are we?
I used to be.
You're just upset because he's got Maurice. That's why.
Yeah.
let's get it all on the table there.
No. I believe me, seeing his shoot page, he's happy with the woman and the daughter that he has. Trust me very much. Yeah. Jim, why do you think the Big Show is not complaining this time around?
Again, because it was The Miz. No, seriously. I wholeheartedly agree. He's deformed. He's a vegan. Oh, wait, that's somebody else's gimmick. No, I think you're going to see... I mean, how often have we seen it when somebody joins the Unholy Alliance in a wrestling promotion, and after X number of weeks of doing against their will, they're like, you know what? I give up. Why get emotional? Why be submissive? Go with the flow. And then potentially a swerve comes down the line in a couple of months. I think that's what we're setting up for here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tyler, do you think he isn't complaining, or do you think he's just doing what's best for his business?
He's doing what's best for his business because of what was dangled at him, you know, so long ago. You know, your wife, your kids, you know, all these failed businesses, it's all coming back to that. And, you know, it's like every time, you know, you got to do what's right for business. You got to do what's right for business, because I'm sure if he doesn't, which I'm sure at this point he won't, maybe until somewhere far down the line, you know, he's, you know, obedient because he feels like he has it so much on the line, and they're going to keep hounding him about it and embarrassing him about that, and even bring up even more stuff if there's even more to find of failed financial investments and the et ceteras.
I'm sorry. I just had to jump in. Seeing him not get emotional and turn into Niagara Falls, slowly he turns step by step, you know, that's a positive, because you can only see that so many times in a row before you say, what the heck is going on here?
But I like the fact that he's a cold-hearted monster. That I like. I like that a lot, because Badass Big Show is better than Baby Big Show by any stretch of the
comedy
imagine.
Show is lesser than exactly. Well,
I would go with Badass Comedy Baby. Is that about right?
Yeah.
The big question I have in all of this, though, is what the heck? How will Stephanie get her payback? Because you know there's no way in the PG era they're going to have Big Show punch her in the face.
No, not at all. It's going to be something else. But speaking of retribution and corporation age, Mr. NXT, Mr. Waters, tell us what's going on down in Full Sail.
Ah, yes. In the land of where they are wild and young and we have just begun, we have a little bit of connection between the main show and the NXT show, which is not very often they have that, because NXT is taped 4 shows in advance. But they connected it this time via NXT commissioner Dusty Rhodes. Triple H came down to the show, and he gave the typical promo that some of the big guys gave, like Paul Heyman gave a similar speech where he promotes NXT as the future. First connection they did was a subtle one, I think. Triple H says that NXT is the future, and if something were to happen to the people on the main roster, the future would be safe because he could pull NXT guys up to the main roster and they wouldn't miss a step. So that was a little subtle thing I thought of. Then,
well, go on, because there's something else that happened which is more interesting, I think.
Yes, I'm getting to that. Then he mentions that Dusty Rhodes is going to be given time off because he's had personal issues with this whole Cody thing, i.e. they want to get him out of the way for a little bit. So, who do they get to be the interim general manager of NXT? Cue a stock exchange bell and a few cows mooing. It is JBL coming out and calling and promoting himself as the new wrestling general manager, and a little bit of stealing of both The Rock and Ric Flair by yelling at a person and saying, this is not sing-along for with the wrestling god. He is the new general manager that is going to be best for business for NXT.
Now, Brett, that's very good, tying in, having NXT tie in with the main roster, right? Because I love continuity. Continuity is good.
Absolutely. I think they need to do it a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering why, Jim, they didn't do this sooner. No?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every so often you need to refresh the roster and you need to bring up the young talent, and they need to do that again, I think, just because some of the things that are currently in place storyline-wise are a little stale. It's retread. It's 7-year rule material in many respects. We've seen it before. Bring up the new faces. I'm not looking for a new Nexus. I'm not looking for a new core. I'm just looking to see some new faces in new places. And
speaking of new faces, as I've watched a couple of episodes, Chris, Sami Zayn should be up there, right?
Yes, he should, but I think they want to give him a little time, seeing how well he does as the big fish in the pond, as the NXT champion with his feud with Bo Dallas that they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Could anybody here see him maybe get a spot in the Rumble?
Could be. What about any of the women? Who is this Paige, right? The anti-diva, right?
Yeah, Paige should have been up there already, if you ask me, right now. I would love to see a Paige-AJ feud right now. AJ coming out saying, I've beaten everyone in the Divas division, and then Paige comes out and just lays her out and starts up a new thing there. Emma,
Brett, do you watch NXT?
Here and there, yes.
So who do you like up there? Who would you like to see on the main roster right now?
As far as the Divas go?
No, as far as the NXT people. Anybody.
Definitely Sammy. I like him. I don't, you know, another guy who I know that they're really down on, but I've loved for many, many years now since he was down in CZW, is Chris Hero. I would really love to see him.
Cassius Ohno now, right?
Yes, Cassius Ohno. I'd love to see, you know, him work his way out of the doghouse, which it looks like it kind of happened finally on these last recent tapings. So hope he's a guy I'd like to see up there eventually. There's really nobody down there that blows me away after Sammy.
Personally, there are some guys that I like, but I don't see them coming up to the main roster anytime soon. One guy I like, is just because he's goofy of it, is Aiden English with his new gimmick that he does, where he actually sings ballroom style songs to the not ballroom, Broadway style songs to the ring. It just makes me laugh for some reason.
And who is the gentleman, the guy who's the fighting gentleman from the?
That's Aiden English.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and then there's also Tyler Breeze, the mix of Dolph Ziggler, John Morrison, and the model Rick Martel all in one.
Nikki would love him instantly, that's for sure.
Yeah,
she does, actually.
Go figure. Shocker.
But no, but it should. But it's very interesting. They've got a lot of good people potentially on the way, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, again, I love continuity. I love continuity. Oh, and by the way, did anybody see SmackDown and supposedly with Santino being Snake with this flute and this snake charmer bit? Oh, yeah. God. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's Santino. What do you expect, right there?
Yeah, exactly. Look, but
as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's also a couple of. Couple of other things, you know, that we could talk about here. So it's just what, you know, first of all, number one, by the way, the person who are the Bella off the list, by the way, is Brie Bella. Okay. Daniel Bryan popped the question, of course. She said, yes, yes. Yes.
Oh, that wasn't coming, was it, kids?
Yeah, of course it was.
So, will we see the results of this perhaps in a future episode of Total Divas?
Do you think?
I try not to. The only thing I think about is seeing Natalia scantily clad on that show. That's a beautiful thing.
Excuse me, dude, that was awesome. Okay.
And her man's like, nothing I haven't seen before. Whatever.
Yeah, please. But by the way, I just have to say one thing. I looked at the ring. Pretty small, no? Not for nothing.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're not on the main card, so.
Oh, stop.
Hey, it's true. It's damn true.
No, but you want to know something? I like the fact that it's a nice, quiet ring, and we all wish him the best, seriously. Also, someone who we wish the best to is Trish Stratus, who's about to pop. Literally.
Oh, she's been about to pop in many respects for years. But yes, I know what you're saying. She's about to have the Stratus faction of having a kid.
A son.
Which, if they bring him up into the WWE, if he decides to become a wrestler, just let him keep his first name and keep his mother's last ring name, because Max Stratus is almost a perfect wrestling
name.
The
WWE name generator couldn't do better than that if they tried.
No, yeah. Not at all. Max Stratus is perfect. A very interesting clip that's been making the round. Of course, we had. If you didn't notice on Monday Night Raw, they were kind of shilling that Triple H DVD a little bit on Monday.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Hey, it's best for business, and I have some words of advice when it comes to talking about. What's best for business from the boss, and I think you might be a little disrespectful for saying what you're saying. If I know where I think you're going with the DVD, let me play the clip here. 1 second.
Oh, yeah. All right. What do you got for me?
You can say anything you want. Just be respectful.
All right. Fine. All right. Let me try and be respectful here. In the clip that I saw from the Kingdom Come, Triple H said that he made $52,000 a year when he was terrorizing. $52,000—that's $1,000 a week, okay? And he basically said they. What was interesting about that is that they wanted to give him a 2-year deal, and he said no, I wanted one. He said, you're going to know if I'm, the quote was, you're going to know if I'm good enough within 1 year. And I'm like, that's pretty ballsy coming from a guy who's just coming into the business, right, Britt? I mean, seriously.
It really is. And $52,000 a year back then, the early 90s, I think it was 1994?
No. Terrorizing? I'll look it up, but keep talking about the numbers here.
Okay. I think he says it. I think the clip is from 1994, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but,
he joined him in 94, yes.
Okay, so yeah, it's very ballsy. I mean, $52,000 is good nowadays too, but you know, back then for a wrestler in a organization that's still pretty tiny, it's very, very ballsy. He was confident in himself, and I've actually had the chance to see this DVD. I saw it about 2 weeks ago through WWE DVD News. They are an advertiser and a partner of ours on WrestleChat. And
yeah, so you saw the documentary or you saw the entire match?
And I can't stand Triple H for most of the – I don't know. I have a ton of reasons behind it. But I really didn't – when I heard there was another Triple H DVD, I was like, really? This is such a waste of time. This DVD is hands down in the top three that I have ever seen in my life. It is fantastic. It is one of the best documentaries that they've ever done. And I'll go out there and say that I really feel that if you are a diehard wrestling fan, that this is a must own.
How long is the actual documentary?
I think I watched the entire thing in about an hour and a half, roughly.
Now let me ask you something. Without necessarily spoiling anything, does he talk about a lot of the rumors about him in general? Does it go through Fortune at all?
He does. He's very, very open. They covered a lot of things that I didn't think they would. And it was just a phenomenal DVD all around. It's really one of those DVDs that I think a lot of people are automatically saying, I'm not gonna buy that. I'm not going to watch it. It's another Triple H DVD. You know, how many of these are they going to do? It's totally different. You know, he really peels back the layers on this. You kind of see a Triple H that you haven't seen before. If I had to compare it to something, there was the interview that Triple H did with Grantland just a few weeks ago that I think a lot of people were reading.
And that was really good. That was a really good interview.
Wasn't it? It was the best print interview I've ever seen of him. And if you can kind of take that Triple H that you saw in that interview and put him on a DVD, it's what you get in this. It was phenomenal. I strongly suggest checking it out.
Very cool. And that is Thy Kingdom Come, which just came out this week, actually. Of course we find out that the Tribute to the Troops, which is actually one of my favorite shows of the year, is going to be on December 28th, I believe, on NBC. And there'll be a longer special on USA very soon, and I think it's really cool that they still do that. Thank you, JBL. I'm a little surprised that Vortex has not renewed Saturday Morning Slam. For me, I've actually watched it. It's a very fun diversion if you've got a kid. I like how they did that. Do you eventually see Saturday Morning Slam coming back, Jim, or not sure yet?
But Jason, you don't have any kids, so what?
Because it's actually, the commentary is quite funny.
Well, yes, Santino on Color notwithstanding.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about something else.
The only paycheck Josh Matthews gets these days, poor guy. No, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it was, I think, the highest rated thing on the whole Vortex block for the CW. I would put it at 50-50. I really would. I think right now, though, WWE is more focused on other ventures, the Total Divas stuff, building the pay-per-views, building the other things. I mean, they've been pimping out the last few days. The John Cena, racing game or something?
Yeah, it's called the John Cena Fast Lane.
Oh, yes, because nothing... Yes, we're trying to get the NASCAR market now because Cena always appeals to the Southern demo. I mean, come on. Really? Get her done.
Yeah, exactly. And, we had some good matches on SmackDown, actually. We had Unfortunately, we had a another best for business meeting, you know, with Triple H, which was kind of interesting. And yeah, okay, non-title match: Alberto Del Rio defeats R-Truth. I mean, again, Zack Ryder gets Sister Abigail.
Hey, Zack Ryder got on TV. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Dolph Ziggler unfortunately didn't get the U.S. title, but we knew that was coming. Turns into a six-man. Shield wins, unfortunately. And Randy Orton unfortunately beat Miz in an ODQ, making Trent, you know, again, what's best for business here.
And AJ Lee downgraded her partner.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, as I said, it's, you know, that's pretty much it. Right now, I think we pretty much squeezed everything, I think, that was relevant this week to the news here. But what I want to do is I want to do a little bit of plugging. And I want to, of course, Brett, you have your site, you have your podcast, floor's yours. Tell us about them.
WrestleChat.net. Obviously, we have we've been around for going on our fourth year now. And that's where all of my work is. Everything that we do is through there. I also blog on and off for Camel Clutch Blog, my good buddy Eric Arjulo, who occasionally listens to the show, and I know that he really likes it. So me and him were actually talking about it via email earlier this week. And so if he's listening to this specific one, I want to congratulate him and his wife, Jessie. They announced earlier this week that they're going to add another Gardjulo to the bunch. So congrats to them. But
awesome. Good for them. And, of course, you have the Steel Real to Us podcast.
Yes. Jeff Peck, a good buddy of mine, he works for ESPN. He every Thursday does the Steel Real to Us podcast. Him and Trey Dent, also known as Captain Obvious, they do a really good job, those guys.
Very, very cool. And, by the way, again, thank you for your sponsorship. We really do appreciate that. And believe me, first of all, just also to talk about what we talked about last week about you and Tammy Sitch, that was a very awesome response. Really, really cool. And you really had to do that, actually.
Well, she's a piece of work.
We called it a lot worse.
For $75, you know what kind of work of piece of work.
Yeah,
she is.
Exactly. You should be upset at us for all the language we
Yeah, you really. I'm surprised
show.
You aren't.
You know what, the boss emailed me and he said, you know, I'm just giving you a heads up. There's going to be a lot of curse words. Do you want me to not put it on the site or do you want me to edit it? And I told him, I said that I wanted it exactly how it was recorded. You guys do a great job. Everybody that ever is affiliated with this show always does a great job, is always pretty knowledgeable. And, you know, you guys have been around for a long time. You know what you're doing. And I really appreciate it. You know, every Friday, every Saturday morning, I know that my readers have something to listen to. And it's always a very wide variety of opinion. And I listen to the show every week as well. So you guys do a terrific job.
Thank you very much for that. No, it's just that, you know, up until that last line, she wasn't exactly wrong. But once she said that last line, it was just, you know, Katie barred the door.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see her point. I see what she was trying to do. She was trying to prove something. But in my personal opinion, at least if it was somebody who didn't have so many skeletons in her closet, it makes sense. When you're Tammy Sitch, and she doesn't like me as it is, last year we were the website that before TMZ and everywhere else had it, we were the ones that exclusively reported on her fifth arrest in 6 weeks. This was the specific arrest where she climbed one of the columns to the balcony of her ex-boyfriend's house. Damian Darling is his name. Climbed the balcony to his house and beat the hell out of him. And then she, you know, she cried wolf and said that it was completely opposite. The police reports say otherwise, but you know, it is what it is. But aside from Tammy Sitch, because she's a piece of trash, and I don't even feel like talking about her.
No, I'm sorry. I was just talking about defending wrestling journalism.
And that's the thing. You know, wrestling fans, we get such a bad rep, and it annoys the shit out of me. And she just happened to catch me at the wrong time. And there's so many people that do it when you see superstars from all over the place all the time, that the second something bad or something they don't agree with comes out about them, it's immediately, you know, the guys sitting in their mom's basement and blah, 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 blah. Velvet Sky did it earlier this week, but I bit my tongue. But she actually said it to somebody about, you know, go back to your mom's basement. It's such bullshit, you know, and I'm very passionate about it. And that is the one thing that people can say about wrestling fans, wrestling journalists, that really aggravates me. They really stereotype the fans that they have. You know, it's very similar to saying, you know, all NASCAR fans are, you know, rednecks and hillbillies, and
yep,
all basketball fans are African Americans, and you know, it's stupid to generalize the people that pay your bills like that. And when people say that specific line, you know, the mother's basement, and you know, it strikes a nerve.
Okay, well, thank you again for that, Tyler. Do you have anything to promote?
No, I'm in a constant state of working, and you all caught me on probably one of my rare weeks where I have a Friday off at this point. Working two jobs and going to school, I don't usually have a lot of free time or free days off. So this might be the last time you'll probably see me for a while on the show.
Well, good luck in whatever you do. Chris, talk about you.
All right, I'm got to stop procrastinating on updating the damn thing, but I have my site, mrcmwaters.blogspot.com. That is mrcmwaters.blogspot.com. Full Industries, where I have I have watercolors, where I review animated material, whether they be movies or TV shows. I have the Washout, where I review various wrestling things. So far, the only one I have are an episode of the Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon and a Hunter comic with Captain Lou Albano. And I've also started a project where I'm reviewing every issue of the Archie Sonic the Hedgehog comics. Speaking of which, Jim, I have to talk to you about after the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that I'm going to try to get an update up this coming week for at least one of those three shows. And around Christmas, I will also have Episodic Christmas, where I review one episode of a TV show that is Christmas-based. I already did it last year, 25 days worth of it, and just stay tuned for it. So,
all right, Jim, you know there's a playoff. You know there's playoffs coming in baseball, aren't there?
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Yes.
Not in Philadelphia. I don't care. Oh,
yes. You've
not in New York either, buddy. Hi.
No. Yeah. Okay.
But we have the latest edition of Touch 'Em All available on the website right now. It chronicles up through Play Monday what was happening around Major League Baseball. And pretty much now, as we're recording this on a Friday night, everything is cinched up division-wise, I do believe. Thanks.
Well, yes, as I have a little breaking news. The Cardinals defeated the Cubs 7-0.
They clinched the National League Central. So yep. It's Pittsburgh and St. Louis in... Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in the NL play-in wild card game. And the American League, that's going to be interesting to see if Texas falls off the map again. Also, we talk about two retiring Yankees, one named Mariano, the other named Andy. And they're
quick question for you.
Yes.
5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
unanimous or not?
For Rivera?
Yeah.
He'll never get he won't get unanimous, but he'll probably get all but a handful of votes. There are going to be some members of the Baseball Writers Association of America who are spiteful pricks and will be like, oh, he's a closer. There's always that segment of the population. But he'll get in with like 90-95% of the vote. He'll be a first ballot, in my estimation. Okay. Andy Pettit, on the other hand, will never, ever, ever get in together. Sorry.
Was that a Taylor Swift reference?
Yes, it was.
Yes, sir.
That's
you son of a bitch.
That's the nicest thing I've been called all day.
See, the thing is that, you know, Brett's a very masculine dude. You know, he's married.
Very
he's got
masculine.
A kid.
He's singing my dude to his kids. He's
ride
wrecking balls into guitars and kids.
There's nothing wrong with that song either.
Well,
you know what? You like pop music? It's all good. It's all good.
But getting back to plugging the baseball show that three people listen to. I'm sorry. Two people listen to the show. I'm sorry. We talk about Ryan Sandberg. I always say Ryan. I don't care. He's Rhino to me. Staying on board with the Phillies. And if you're a fan of Ken the Hawk Harrelson, you masochistic SOB that you are, we have something for you as well on the show this week. Heads up, we may be doing an extra bases edition of Touch 'Em All to preview the play-in games. Not sure yet, but we definitely will be on during the playoffs before each round, previewing each series, handicapping it, predicting it, and so on and so forth. It's the best time of year if you're just a fan of baseball. And I love the sport, and I love doing the podcast. And Jason, you've been a part of it. And you've been a great addition to things. And we want people to listen in at CLW83.com and Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, iTunes, the whole bit. And one other thing, if I may. Shout out to my friends on the left coast in Ridgecrest, California. I've been doing some logo design work for Post Rock Communications. And this Friday, just today, as we record this, 93.7, which was KKYT, flipped formats to classic rock. And they are known as Z93.7. And if you go to their Facebook page, just go facebook.com/Z93.7FM. You'll see some of my logo design work, and I'm proud to be working with those guys. They're good people. They have, having talked with them personally, they have gone through pure, unmitigated hell in the last year just trying to get this thing up off the ground and changed over from crappy Tradio, old country store type stuff. Yes, I like to buy. I'm wondering if you have two tires, and I'm looking to sell a goat. That kind of stuff. That kind of radio to... some kick-ass classic rock. So they're doing that, and they're doing a great job. Shout out to Joe Benson and Andrew and Fritz and the crew over there. And it's great in the day and age that I can telecommute with them and make a little dough on the side.
All good. And let's talk a little football, though, too.
Oh, yes, the BS Big Show. It is up and running, and we've got all sorts of talk. We recap the games. We make fools of ourselves. And we also entered another installment of the BS Big Show Hall of Fail. Many new inductees, including a guy who killed a bunch of people and a guy who almost killed himself for the sake of a pepperoni pizza, among other people. And So
let me end it by, first of all, plugging this show, which is the North American Wrestling Connection. Nikki Heyman, hopefully, will be back next week.
I hope so.
Myself and Brian Henniger, we talk video games on a little video game podcast called Pixel Nation, which I love and love, love, love to do. We are recording another episode of WLTI Live, which I believe you're going to be on this week, I believe, Jim.
Yes, we're going to play, Steve.
We're going to play because we had a couple of million-dollar moments this week.
Yes, we do in the game show genre, and we also have Plinko. And promise to tell a friend, we'll get some word about the advertising. We'll throw another Plinko game absolutely free.
Yes, and we will talk about that. We'll talk about some other shows that also debuted this week, and I would like to get in another Red State Blue State in, because we did it last weekend, but this week we had some really wild and bizarre stuff happening, and there was a lot of societal stuff that just made me just go, really?
And we've got most recently some news here in my home state as well.
Oh, are we talking about the gay marriage thing?
The same-sex marriage thing, how a judge has said their piece about that.
But I bet you a lot of gay weddings will not be serving Barilla pasta. That's all I'm saying. I just got to say, how stupid do you got to be? I mean, really? I mean, look, no matter what you may think or say, you're the head of a multinational corporation. You don't say it in public. Not cool.
Tell that to the people who own Chick-fil-A.
Well, Chick-fil-A's still doing well.
Yes, and their chicken is to die for. And in your case, Jason, it would literally be.
It would be to die for. Yeah, because ye olde peanut oil, not good for the Jason. I'm allergic. But what is good is the fact that I had four wonderful panelists. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Brett, for stopping by. Again, WrestleChat.net for all your wrestling news. Tyler Brown, Nikki, we hope you're back next week. This is Jason Block saying good night, everybody, from everyone here at the North American Wrestling Connection. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.